The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Recent research, which suggests that average sperm counts may have more than halved in the last 40 years, have been disputed. An analysis of sperm counts from would-be donors in Denmark has indicated that there may not be a decline after all. However, male infertility is still an issue for many men, one that lacks both awareness and the offering of solutions. Joining me now to talk about all of this is Professor Alan Pacey, Professor of Andrology at the University of Manchester. Alan, good morning.
Good morning to you.
First of all, sperm quality. I mean, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about numbers? Is it a numbers game or is it about motility?
Yeah, it's a combination of all of those things. But historically, we've tended just to focus on the count, and that's how many sperm a man has. But if they're not moving or they're not swimming, then they're kind of a bit useless. So in our latest paper, we focused on the number of sperm that were swimming, the swimmers, and that's an indication of the quality.
Okay, now, you would dispute the notion that sperm quality has decreased by 50% over a few decades, which would be very dramatic.
Yeah, it's hit the headlines. It's entered our popular culture as an idea. But I actually think that the data that that's based on is a little bit shaky for many, many reasons that we probably don't have time to go into. But that is what has prompted us to do this most latest study in Denmark. So we kind of scratched our heads and said, you know, if sperm counts are declining, where might we go to get some real data to test that? And the idea was, let's go to this sperm bank in Denmark. It's the world's biggest. They have 4 sites in Denmark, and they have hundreds, thousands of men going through their books every year. And the thing about sperm donors is they're not worried about their fertility. They're young men. They haven't been tested. They're just interested to be donors. So it kind of represents a real cross-section of society. And when we looked at these men, we found that over a 6-year period, their sperm count, the numbers of sperm, hadn't changed, which is contrary to the theory that's out there. But we did see a decline in their sperm motility by as much as 22%. And our only working hypothesis at the moment is that the change seemed to happen at around the time of the start of the COVID pandemic.
Okay.
We don't think it... Go on.
Your question would be, did COVID affect the motility of the sperm? Or was it something about the lifestyle changes that were enforced upon all of us that may have brought it about?
Yeah, we think the most plausible explanation is the latter, because there is actually quite a lot of data out there showing that the virus doesn't really affect sperm. And in fact, in Denmark, the incidence of COVID in the general population was really quite low. But what Denmark did was it locked down in the same way that many other countries did. So our working hypothesis, we can't prove it, but our working hypothesis is that it was something to do with our lifestyle changes at that point. Sitting down, not commuting, maybe eating different things or watching too much Netflix or things like that. And maybe that was the cause of the decline. Of course, we can't prove it. But if that was true, then perhaps we'll see a bounce back. And I hope that we'll be allowed access to the Cryos data in a few years' time to test that theory.
Now all sorts of theories float around. You know, the notion that Scotsmen wearing kilts have higher sperm counts and better motility because the test days are kept at an appropriate temperature, whereas someone wearing skinny jeans, which are tight around the crotch, will not have the same efficacy in producing good sperm.
Yep. Yeah, both plausible. We did a study in the UK a few years ago, and we found that one of the biggest risk factors for low swimming sperm was the men that wore tight pants. It was the tight pants that was the risk. So there may be some plausibility in your theory. There was actually a randomized controlled trial a few years ago, although I'm not quite sure how it couldn't be blinded, but they gave men loose pants to wear for a while, tested their sperm quality, and then they gave them tight pants. And when they wore the tight pants, their sperm quality went down. So, yeah, one good piece of advice that I give to men all of the time is if you wear tight pants, change them for loose pants.
Okay, and that might improve, yeah, your sperm count. How long does it take to generate sperm?
Well, that's the key. So if you change your pants on Friday, you're not going to see an improvement by Monday. But if you change them now, you might see an improvement by the end of the summer, because it takes about 3 months to produce sperm from start to finish. And so any lifestyle change has got to occur over at least that length of time, and it's got to be sustained. I often use the example of smoking. So we would advise men to stop smoking. But of course, if they have a cheeky cigar at some point, then that just kind of resets everything and it undoes all of the damage. So any lifestyle change has really got to be sustained for 3 months or more.
Now, a lot of people's difficulty with sperm count and motility would only be uncovered when they're trying to have a child with their partner, and they check the woman, her eggs are fine. Then they decide we better check the man as well, and that's when the problem is revealed. Is that a particular issue, that there are those men who are oblivious to the fact that they're not in good reproductive shape?
Yeah, I mean, certainly men and women kind of mix up sexual potency with fertility, and there is no link there. You can perform perfectly well in the bedroom department but still be infertile. If a couple is having trouble, then the first step that they should do is go and visit the family doctor. And actually testing the man's sperm is one of the first tests that is done, and that's because it's cheap and it's easy to do. The problem there is that many men are reluctant to go forward for testing because of embarrassment or worry about who might find out, and that is a concern. That I think also leads into the fact that there aren't too many male fertility specialists around the place. So very often the person who's dealing with this might be the woman's gynecologist. And by definition, gynecologists are interested in women. They're not so interested in men, although there are some very good ones out there who are. So I think we've got a way to go to improve the lot or improve the experience for men who have a fertility problem.
Now, when you tell us that it actually takes months for a sperm to develop, I'm not sure what sort of reservoir of sperm that men would hold, but the idea that you're trying to have a family and, you know, you're fairly active sexually, are you exhausting all your sperm? And by the time the woman ovulates and she is ready to be impregnated, you've already got rid of most of your great swimmers.
Yeah, again, it's a balance. So the evidence would suggest that if a couple are having intercourse about two or three times a week, then that is the most optimal to make sure that that reservoir of sperm has the appropriate numbers, has sperm of the appropriate age. Because, of course, one of the things that often couples do is that they don't have sex until the fertile period. You know, the woman may be looking at her fertility through an ovulation detection kit. But the problem with not having regular sex is that old sperm are not very healthy either. So there's a need for a man to ejaculate regularly, preferably during intercourse, and that should take place two or three times a week. The concern is that in our modern lives, couples are not often having sex two or three times a week. So I think there needs to be a real focus about information regarding how frequently a couple should be having intercourse.
Now, what about the man going around with his mobile phone stuck in his hip pocket, close to the testes? Any information about how that might impact on sperm production?
Yeah, it's controversial. There are studies out there showing that the electromagnetic radiation that comes from mobile phones is damaging to sperm, but that those experiments have usually been done on sperm that are swimming around in a dish in the lab. There's a lack of good quality, what I would call epidemiological evidence, to know for sure whether where you put the mobile phone is of concern. But my advice is, if you're worried about it, then perhaps the best place is to put it in a shirt pocket or in a bag or somewhere like that and keep it away from your hip pocket. But it is an unproven theory, that, but it would seem sensible to do that if you're concerned about your fertility.
Okay. The final area, I suppose, is exercise and diet. Any impact on sperm production?
Yeah, there's a little bit of evidence that suggests that men who are a bit more active have slightly better sperm than men who are sedentary. And that comes through in a number of different studies. So I would always say, you know, even if it's just going out and having a walk, you don't have to become a triathlete to improve your physical fitness, but just improving your physical fitness can have a positive impact on sperm in a number of indirect ways. Diet is interesting. Yes, there's a lot of data showing that men who take Mediterranean diets, so lots of fish, fruit and veg, generally have better sperm than men who take processed meat and things like that. So I would always advise getting away from the burgers and getting a bit more onto the salads and veg.
So the stereotype of the Latin lover has something about it, really.
Indeed, yeah. From a lifestyle perspective, I think the kind of the Mediterranean kind of diet and approach to life probably has a number of benefits. There's no evidence that there's more babies born in that part of the country, but there is evidence to some extent that men who have that lifestyle do have better sperm.
Okay. And obesity, any impact on sperm production?
Yeah, controversial. Again, there are studies that show there is an effect of obesity and there are studies that show that it isn't. But I think most couples would know that obesity has a lot of impacts on our health. And that's so where I think that a bit more exercise is beneficial because, you know, men who are carrying a bit extra in the stomach department do have changes to their hormones and other changes in their body, which can negatively impact sperm production.
Fascinating stuff. Alan Pacey, Professor of Andrology at the University of Manchester. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.